I'm going to share the same word. It certainly won't be like him. It might even be better. Who knows? Woo! All right. Come on now. Come on, Pastor Mark. No pressure there, huh? But he titled the sermon, Here Comes the Army of God. And I have never been so thrilled to be part of an army in my whole life, in my 60-plus years of life, as I am today. Because I never thought the army would look like it does today. Because 30, 40 years ago, we were told we couldn't be an army. And here we are. Guess who's the army? So I'm going to talk today about a little bit different about what I think the army for today looks like, what God is preparing. And we're going to start out in Genesis, the 30th chapter, and we're going to talk about Leah. How many of you know the story about Leah and Rachel? And the thing I like about this story is that Leah was the second choice. She was not the first choice. You know that Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years on agreement that he would have that he could have Rachel as his wife. He worked, and then he was tricked. The person who tricked everybody else ended up being tricked, and he slept with the wrong woman the first night of his marriage, which happened to be Leah. And so then he had to work another 7 years to get Rachel. So I like this story because God is working with an army today that may not have been a first choice in many people's eyes, but I believe that Leah was probably first choice in God's eyes. So turn to your neighbor this morning and say, you're first choice. Do you believe that this morning? So it doesn't matter how we start out in life, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're cutting edge, whether we're not so cutting edge. It does not matter how we start out in life. It matters how we move forward in life and how we pursue the purpose and the plan of God for our lives. We're only responsible for our lives. You're only responsible for your life. We're never responsible to measure up to somebody else's expectations of us or their disqualification of us. We're only responsible to God to do what he's asked us to do. And so we're God's first choice. We're it. We're who he has. And it's so awesome who he's raising up today. I was just talking to Pastor briefly before this service, and I said, you know, it is going to be amazing the next 5 years as the army begins to be assembled in different areas of the country, in different areas of the world, and begin to take on certain mountains and certain tasks. And it's going to be very interesting to watch the religious sect raise up and say, wait a minute, We voted them out a long time ago. They've been this, they've done that, they're in their whatever marriage. They cannot be the representation for this mountain of government or the mountain of church or the mountain of education. Well, guess what? They don't get to vote. God is the one that says and puts people up in places that he's called us to be in. So today, what he's doing, he spent the last several years breathing life back into death, bringing healing back into brokenness, and bringing restoration back into the hearts to where people are really, literally dreaming again about what God could possibly do through them because they've been qualified through him. So that's what I want to share about a little bit this morning. Genesis 30, verse 9 through 11, it says, when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. Father, we just pray today that you would anoint your word today, that you would anoint me as your servant, that I would speak and declare only what you have asked me to speak and declare. I pray that your word would penetrate hearts today and that lives would leave this building changed because of your word, Father. And we all say, amen. Now, when she gave birth and she named this son Gad, Gad means good fortune in that Hebrew language. But it also, in today's time, it would mean supernatural flavor, just sheer awesomeness, that this man has an incredible future. hope and expectation raised up in Leah's heart like never before. And she said, this man is going to be named Gad. In other words, there's going to become a shift take place in her life. And that favor, where favor had not been before, was going to rule and reign and was going to take her generation and her tribe and her lineage to a whole nother level. Woohoo! That's us here today. God is breathing on church today, on CFTN and many other churches. He's breathing on us, and we're seeing ourselves doing, saying, going places that we never thought we would go before. You hang on. We're in for the ride of our lives. It's going to be such a shock to see where some of us are at in a few years, a few months, or a few weeks. Pastor Mark, I can't wait to see what God does with you and Lena. I know that he's breathing on you in a season. I know that missions is in your heart. I know that the nations are in your heart. And I know that this next season, God's going to release you and Lena to go to many, many different places. And you're going to take the love. You're going to take that pastoral anointing upon you. You're going to take the word of the Lord, and you're going to teach and instruct apostolically to the nation. So get ready, get ready, get ready. Yay, God. God honors faithfulness. God honors faithfulness. God honors people who aren't trying to scratch their way to the top. They're trying to serve others to get to the top. And when God notices that, then he begins to promote and he begins to elevate and he begins to expedite the call of God on people's lives just because of their faithfulness. That was extra. I'm not charging you a thing for that. All right. So everything is about to change. God has invested into this generation. How many of you in here would say that God has literally brought you back from a place of death? Amen. All over this, wow. A place of addiction, a place of brokenness, a place of disqualification. You know, I've shared it many times. I grew up in a very poor Pentecostal family. My dad was first generation preacher, and I'm so very, very grateful that God found us. I can't tell you how grateful, because we should have never been found. I should have been from a divorced, broken home. I should have been from a home that was just devastated. I should have been from a home that was victimized and abused. I should have been from that type of home, because that was my assignment. That was the lineage that was assigned against us. My grandfather came home literally one night, told my grandmother, well, you got to get everything packed up. I just gambled and I lost, and I lost our home, so we have to be out tomorrow morning. That's the kind of lineage that I came from. But because of the faithfulness of God, God had a different plan for the family, for the McCarty family. He had a different plan. I have family, there was eight of us kids, and so you just learned, I don't know if anybody else came from this kind of environment, you just learned to lay low. You learned to stay out of everybody's way. You learned to show up to dinner on time. You learned to clean up your plate because you didn't know when the next plate was coming. You learn to lay low. Kids were to be seen and never heard. I'm just saying, I don't know if anybody else in here identify with that. That's what I grew up as. I've got family members that don't even think I was in the family. They think my parents adopted me later on because they do not remember me. I said, heck no, you don't remember me. I was hiding. Literally. Grew up in a home where ministry was only for men. Women could serve the church, which that meant on Saturday night we had restroom duty. The first church we did, it was an outhouse. Thank God we got promoted to the second church that had an in-house. So we cleaned church on Saturday night. That was our ministry. We cleaned. So that came from an environment that says you will never be, you're not qualified, you're not going to be tall enough, you're not going to be good enough, you're not going to be rich enough, you're certainly not going to be smart enough. So you need to just learn to make life work for you and the limitations that we have assigned for you. Anybody else heard that in your life? But I thank God that we're in a generation today that God says and thinks differently about each and every one of us. And he says, you can, you will, you do, you're qualified, you're loved, you're set up for success. So we're going to fast forward here to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, the 8th verse, and this is where Israel's actually become solidified as a tribe, and they've taken territory. And here, look who comes in the picture again. In verse 8, it says, some Gadites, now remember, from Leah, joined David. And by the way, Gadites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel, so that's kind of climbing up the ladder. Some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle the shield and the spear. God is training up an army today in his church that he's learning us to hand, he's taught us to handle a shield, to defend ourselves, to take care of our home territory, to take care of business, to get free where we need to be free, to be strong where we need to be strong. But on the other part, he's also taught us to handle a spear, to become aggressive against the kingdom of darkness, to where we take territory for the kingdom of light. Did you know that King David was the only king in his time that ever gained territory, physical territory, for his tribes? The only one. Isn't that just amazing? God has called us to be both defensive and on the offensive. The way I was raised in Pentecost, and many of you were too, we were just taught we were going to hang on to the end. We weren't going to take anything. We weren't going to gain anything. We were never going to increase in anything. We were just going to hang on to the end. And at any moment, Jesus was going to kind of suck us out of here and our pathetic smallness, and we were going to go to heaven. Well, thank God, God has promoted us from that type of mentality and that limitation to where we now that we know that we're more than conquerors and that we're kings and priests. Wow, this sounds really good. It says, join David at the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Every believer has a lion inside of them. If you don't know that, you got to find that out. If you don't know that, you're going to be hunted and you're not going to be the hunter. God's called us to hunt out, to seek out, to increase the kingdom, and to become ferocious in the kingdom with a lion-like heart and a lion-like mind. Everything is shifting what God is building today. He is absolutely amazing. He's called us to be swift. The only way we can be swift is when we become unanchored from our hurts, the limitations that people have put on us, our brokenness. And when we become conquerors of that and we overcome that, that's when we begin to run in the kingdom. And we not only become runners, but we create that kind of mentality for others that they run along with us. It's so awesome to run in a race, and then all of a sudden you come along somebody that's going a little bit slower, and you just kind of take them in the arm and you just kind of run with them, and you make them go with you just as fast. That is my delight in life, is to get people. I call myself a Holy Ghost taser. That's what I'm called to do, is just tase people and get them moving. Just come on, wake up. They just need to be tased. So I'm just going to go through these names real quick. Here's the tribes represented. Ezra the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmana the fourth. As pastor says, do not name your child Mishmana, please. Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Elizabeth the ninth, Jeremiah the 10th, Machbani the 11th, don't name that either. These were the sons of Gad, captains of the armies. The least was over 100, the greatest was over 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it had overflowed all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valley to the east and to the west. Isn't it amazing that God always asks us to do things at the most inconvenient, inappropriate, most impossible time ever? He has never asked me to do anything that agreed with my time chart, ever, or my budget, or my own capabilities. So when he asked these guys to cross the river at that time, they could have died. It was very, very dangerous. It didn't make any sense. They're probably thinking, wow, Lord, if you just kind of wait a few months, this whole river would just kind of subside, and we could just kind of wade across and be really cute as we get across there. Right now, we're going to have to swim for our lives. But I believe these warriors, these mighty men of valor, just jumped right in at the moment God said. And because they were willing to jump in to circumstances that were not comfortable, to circumstances that were difficult, were dangerous, were challenging, that didn't make any sense, God gave them the victory. I believe in this room, God is calling many of us right now to go and to do certain things, to take certain territories, to break certain strongholds in our family. And it don't make any sense. It just seems like we're outnumbered. Well, yes, in the natural you're outnumbered, but you're not outnumbered in the spiritual. You're not outnumbered in the spiritual. There's enough power to take you to do and to become and be anything that you need to be. All he needs you to do is say, yes, sir. If we got any people in the house that would say yes this morning, I believe we have a house full of them. Amen. So we're going to go through what these mean. Gad means a troop comes, good fortune, united. I believe that when Leah gave birth to Gad, she knew that all of her circumstances, all of her future would change for eternity. I believe that she knew that in her knower of knowers. And today I'm here to declare to you that everything is changing today for each and every one in this house. If you'll grab a hold of this word, everything will change for you. Everything. Ezer means help. There's help coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's help coming in your behalf. Amen. Obadiah, servant of Yahweh. God is raising up servants, not consumers. I have literally witnessed CFTN from 8 years ago. We've been back 8 years? Yeah. 8 years ago, when we came, it was a small nucleus of 300 people, and I would say 275 were consumers and 25 were actually contributors or workers. Boy, has things changed. Boy, has things changed. I don't know how many people are here today, but I know that over half of the people in this house are contributors. Over half of the people here are servants, raising up, training up, duplicating. I just see people stepping into positions, mentoring, outreach, altar team, prayer teams. It's the most rewarding experience of my life is to see people, the light come on. Oh my gosh, this is a kingdom thing. This is amazing. I'm called to do something. So the church has been activated. The church that we knew it 20 years ago no longer exists, Marianne. It no longer exists. The church today is an activated, kingdom-minded, kingdom-shaking church that is going to be planet shakers. I'm telling you what. You watch and see what God does. It's exciting news to me. Eliab, my God is Father. God is healing this fatherless generation like I've never seen before. I'm seeing that the hearts of the sons and the fathers are being restored to each other. It's time, it's time, it's time. Mishmana, fat strength. Iverna talked about three levels of strength last week in her sermon. I believe God's trying to tell us something that we need to strengthen. How many of you in here go to the gym every day? How many of you are lying? Okay. How many of you go to the gym at least three times a week? Okay, there we go. All right. Why do we go to the gym? To strengthen our muscles. I'm finding out in my 60s, it's hard to do a squat anymore, Sansare. It's hard to get down and get back up again. I want to hang on to something, pull myself back up. I said, oh, no, you don't, old lady. You're going to be doing these squats. You're going to be jogging. You're going to be riding a bike. You're going to be activated because I believe there's a real type in shadow that the same amount of attention that you put in your physical body, you need to 10 times that in the spiritual or 100. And so as strong as we are in our physical, we can be much stronger than that in the spiritual if we will apply ourselves. But you got to exercise. You got to exercise your gifts, your prophetic callings. You got to exercise your love. How many of you know that on our daily walk, we can get so inside here and it's just all about our needs or our little family nucleus? Well, we got to exercise that. We got to get out beyond ourselves. God's calling us. Fat strength. Jeremiah, elevated of the Lord. God is in the business right now, and I'm watching right left promoting people. I am ecstatic when someone comes from nowhere, nobody knows them, and all of a sudden, God is using them in an incredible way with a whole new flavor of ministry. That is just what makes me a happy camper. Atai's timely season, a kairos moment is not when or what God is doing, because he's always doing. A kairos moment is when we get it, what God is doing, and we catch on and go, oh my Lord, that's God. And we jump in on it. That's a kairos moment. Eliel, God is my God. How many of you understand in this building, God is not against us. He is for us. So happy with the environment of this church. I think people understand that God is for us. He's not against us. He loves us unconditionally 24/7. Here's my favorite one, Johanan. A season of grace means Yahweh's grace is given. We have never embraced the meaning of grace like we do today in this age and time. And grace does not mean that we just let everything slide and it's okay to be whatever and do whatever and that you're still going to go to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. Grace is what we extend to each other because we get it from Father God. The same amount of grace that I get from God and I expect him to walk with me and embrace me and love me unconditionally is the same amount of grace that I have to extend and I want to extend to every one of my brothers and sisters. Lord, give us a revelation of your grace in this hour. Elzabad, God bestows gifts. Activation, wow. God is in the season right now and he's activating people right and left. Makbani, gifts of the noble person or personal possessions. We are blessed to be a blessing. I believe there's many in CFTN that's been prophetically declared many times that people are actually going to be walked in an identity of prosperity. I know that to be true about Marianne and her husband Rich, that even though they walk through one challenge after another financially, they still walk with a mantle and an authority of prosperity upon them. It's just amazing to watch that. Whether they're actually walking in it that day, whether they have 3 cents in their checking account or $3 million, it doesn't matter because they act and walk the same way because they have that anointing upon them. It's so awesome. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and to his marvelous light. Wow. Talk about come from behind people. Listen to this. The first choice that Jesus had was the disciples, the fishermen, tax collectors. That would not have been our first choice today in society, right? No, wouldn't have been. They would have went and picked some Pharisees and some Sadducees, some people with all that fancy garb on, the religious people. They would have picked them because, first of all, that's what the whole crowd would have approved of. And second of all, it would have made them look good. And Jesus could have cared less about that. He went and got these rough group of people. Some of them were thieves and liars. And he turned around and he re-educated them in the kingdom. So guess what? There's hope for everybody in this building. God's not, you know, God doesn't always pick what people would think would be the first choice. That's what I love about him. Pastor Mike once said, and I just love it when he says it, he says, when God sent me to Phoenix and I rose to fame and then I crashed and then I started getting back in again and I started climbing my way through to the kingdom purpose again, the Lord said, hey, Michael Maiden, I want to remind you that you weren't my first choice for Phoenix. You weren't my second choice. You weren't my third choice either. Well, how's that make you feel? But it just proves that God doesn't limit any of us by our mistakes, our shortcomings, any failures, any titles that we may have that are not positive. God looks at the heart. He looks at the willingness to serve and obedience. That's what he goes with right there. So you're all qualified in here today. Revelations 1:5-6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's made us kings and priests. He's called us to rule and to reign with a king mentality, with a priestly anointing. He's given it to each and every one of us in here today. All we have to do is take a hold of it, grasp it, say, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes to step into what you've called me to step into. Revelations 5, 9 through 12, it says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to God our God, and we shall reign on earth. It's just amazing. It's amazing that God would look at us and say, there's a king, there's a king, there's a priest, there's a king, there's a priest, king, priest, king, priest, king, priest. Wow. Really? And if we're not careful, we categorize ourselves by how we made it through the day. We might start, you know, some of us, we start out the day feeling pretty good. In the Word, praying, got my headphones on, got my workout done. I'm feeling pretty good. And so I start out my day as a king or a priest. I think, wow, I'm going to rule and reign today. Until we get out of our driveway and we get in traffic and the first person cuts us off. Ah, you knucklehead. What's the matter with you? What were you thinking? Are you on drugs or something? Well, we kind of come down a notch to where we're just like, you know, a church attender. Y'all are laughing, but you know what happens. Then by the time we get through the end of the day and our boss has yelled at us and we've yelled at our kids and said things we shouldn't have said, by that night we just barely feel like we're saved at times. But see, we judge ourselves by how we make it through a day. But God doesn't judge us that way. Once he calls you a king and a priest, you're a king and a priest. And he refuses to look at you any other way. Just like when we look at our kids and they might make mistakes and we say to them, I know you made a mistake. I know you didn't get the grade that you wanted on your report card. It doesn't matter. I see you as a princess. I see you as a lawyer. I see you as a banker. I see you could be the president someday. Our grandson, Miles, he just wants to be an astronaut. I say, Miles, you're going to be the best astronaut ever was. That's how we have to see and declare ourselves and declare each other what's over them. We don't judge them by their behaviors, their shortcomings, or what they didn't get accomplished. We declare over them what they are, who they're going to be, what God sees them as. And when you do that, you begin to see their attitude and their behavior shift. Say, wait a minute, I can't act that way. I'm a priest. I'm a king. I'm going somewhere. I'm representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is so faithful. One of the things that expedites us on our journey to ruling and reigning and taking one of the mountains that God's called us to take is the closer we come to him, we know that, the more intimate we become with him, the more time we spend with him, the more of him we take on to ourselves, the easier it becomes for us to see ourselves, what he's called us to be, and the easier it is to walk in that. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's the key right there. We don't have the ability in ourselves. Who are we kidding? We're flesh. We're made of flesh stuff. But the more we cling to who he is and who he says we are, the easier it is to walk and to rule and to reign and what he's called us to walk in. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Wow, shall be done. To come into being, to create from nothing, to be made or formed, or to generate. How many of you feel like you're being transformed from glory to glory? Do you believe that about yourself? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm being transformed. It's a process. I might be here today, but I might be there tomorrow. Next day I might be there, and then the next day I might come back here a little bit, but I'm going to still run forward. You know, once you've been through one around one mountain, you get to know it pretty well. It's a lot quicker to get around and get on to the next one. It's like in a game, you know, when you do those levels on the games, you've been through level 7 about 9 times. By the time you have to go back through level 7 again, you get through it real quick. So we say, I got you, Lord. I got that one. Okay. All right. I got that one. That's not going to happen anymore. And it does. It gets easier and easier and easier. Doesn't mean we're not going to have setbacks, but we're still called to be kings and priests, to rule and reign. We are called to take the mountains of our society. When you came in today, I think, did all the ushers pass out the cards, or do we have ushers with cards that can pass it? If you did not get one of our prayer cards this morning, would you wave your hand at ushers? We may need some help here. I know it was kind of chaotic coming and going on the last service because we had overflow. Yes. Going to give you just a moment, but those of you that have those cards, if you could fill those out really quick, we're going to do something here this morning with those. We want to raise up a prayer army at CFTN, and we want it to be strategic, really related to your mountain. So say if you're a businessman, how many of you'd like to go to work on business on a Monday morning, stepping into the jungle of business, and know that you've got 300 people praying for you that day in the mountain of business? How many of you'd love to do that, see that happen? We want to amp up our prayer. Pastor's asking for everyone to pray for him this next week like you've never prayed before. I'm urging each and every one of you. How many of you pray for your pastors every day? If you don't, I'm going to encourage you to make that part of breathing and eating and drinking water on a daily basis. Because there's a great assignment on his life to do great things, and so also the enemy, you would just love to interfere there. And he doesn't have a chance. But we need to stand with him and pray for him. I encourage you to pray for the whole pastoral staff. But we're going to take this 7-Mountain Prayer Army, and I'd like you to fill out your name, that information there. And then if you would pick at least one of those mountains that you know that you're personally called to, and you're going to commit to prayer, we're going to assign captains over each one of these, and we're going to start setting up Facebook and online blogs, and we're going to really start storming these mountains of media, arts, education, government, business, church, and family as a church. And I believe that in 2014, we're going to finish out this year really being on top of our mountains. How many of you like to be on top of your mountain? Amen? It's time. It's time. It's time. So we're going to just really focus on that this year, and we're going to build a great army. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back out, and we're going to ask, as you finish those cards, if you would just pass them to one side or the other. We're going to have the ushers collect those before you leave. We want to get them today before you leave. So if you've got your card finished, just go ahead and wave it. Remember what mountain you signed up for too, huh? And we're going to start encouraging and orchestrating prayer for all of these mountains. We're going to see the city. We're going to bless the city officials in Phoenix. We're going to pray that God would guide them and strengthen them. All the businesses, our education system, our teachers need our prayers. I deal weekly with teachers that just get overwhelmed, get all kinds of assaults during school, and we just need the peace of God to come back into our schools and to surround our teachers, our spirit-filled teachers, our godly teachers. We need them to be covered in prayer. So as you finish your cards, if we could just go ahead and have you stand to your feet. Y'all have been wonderful. Thank you for listening to the word this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here comes the army of the Lord, and it don't look nothing like what is originally designed to look like, and I love it. Religion designed it to look one way, and God had a whole other plan for it. Amen? And that's us. We're the army. We are the army. Wonder if we could have our prayer team come forward. We're going to open up these altars for you today. If you have been under abnormal assault from the enemy and confusion has hit you on a number of levels, and you feel like you're wobbling and you really need help this morning, we're going to open up these altars and ask you to come and get prayer. Wait here just a moment. Some of you are finishing out your cards. Yes, just come on up. Holy Spirit has worked tremendous miracles in the first two services. I'm confident He's going to do the same here. And I'd like to still minister to the one that got some really devastating news today. If that's you, just come up. We want to pray with you today because God can turn anything around. The devil's a liar. Amen?
To eternity, Your grace finds me. Yes, Your grace finds me. There in the darkest night of the soul, there in the sweetest songs of victory, Your grace finds me. Yes, Your grace finds me. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, Your grace finds me. Yes, Your grace finds me. There in the darkest night of the soul, there in the sweetest songs of victory, Your grace finds me. Yes, Your grace finds me. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, You're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, You're greater. Sin was strong, but Jesus is stronger. Our shame was great, but Jesus, You're greater. Finds me. Yes, Your grace finds me.